Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to Wax Quizzical. This is the podcast that has all of the questions, but history's proven very few of the answers, unfortunately. We'll see if we can change that today with our guest. It's comedian Rose Piper.
Yeah, g'day. There you go.
Yeah, good. Thank you for meeting me at my energy level there.
I feel like we have a similar energy level at all times, so we should mesh
actually.
Well.
That's true. Yeah. How you just doing? How's life? You're on the bloody telly this week.
I am on the bloody telly this week. I'm on the lesbians episode of You Can't Ask That.
Finally, we've got trans. To lesbians.
it's weird that it's taken 6 seasons to get to lesbians, but
yeah, I'm pretty sure it's made by 2 straight white dudes, isn't it? So I thought lesbians would have been right up front, but
yeah, that's true.
But here we are, season 6. Finally, they can retire now. This is show.
They can. Well, I think they're retiring on the Adult Virgins episode.
Are they?
Yeah.
Are any of the questions that you can't ask in Italian cooking? The flavor-based sofrito is made by. No, is that the sort of stuff you got asked on the show?
No, they were talking more about French cuisine. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is that one of the? Synonyms for lesbianism, French cuisine.
Yeah. What I should have said was a Bunnings sausage. I'd hit a stereotype.
Totally. You would have hit that joke. It's a good joke, that Bunnings joke.
Yeah.
That comes out on the reg. How do you go with quizzes? Perhaps not the ones that ask such detailed questions. You know, how did you go with newspaper quizzes?
I feel like my confidence is a bit shaken lately, to be honest, because my girlfriend and I do the Good Weekend Quiz every week, and we've not had a good run of results in recent weeks.
Okay,
I think we were doing really well, and then something has really dropped off. We've had some low scores.
Okay. Well, the person who writes this quiz, Cindy McDonald, used to write the Good Weekend Quiz and has moved over to the Saturday paper, where we get this one from. So perhaps if you were good at the old ones, maybe you'll be good at this one. There's a confidence boost for you.
I'm hoping so, or at least just that the Brains Trust can kind of push me into, you know, a higher echelon.
Well, that's it. We do have a Brains Trust to assist today. Let's meet them now. First of all, it's a big hello to the Keeper of the Bells. It's Michael Cowley.
Well, hello there. How are you?
Very good, thanks,
It's good
Michael.
To be here on the podcast, may I say. It's a great honour. To be asked to be part of it. It's the first podcast I've been on, and I'm just thrilled to be here to talk about bells.
Yes, well, thank you for taking time out from the bells to join us. Which bells do you keep exactly?
I keep the church bells for the village of Little Tynel. We like to say we've got big bells in Little Tiny, but that's just a joke that we make because Tynel does look a bit like the word tiny.
Yeah,
but It's not tiny by any stretch of the word. The name is quite old, and the town is much bigger now.
Right.
As a consequence of, they've put in three new housing developments on the west side of town that used to be old Mr. Rumley's farm, and so we've grown by somewhat almost 500 people in the last the last three to four years.
Almost
which
a city.
Is quite big.
Are the bells still able to reach across, like when you ring the bells, are they able to reach across the whole
village? Oh, yes. When John Gilligan designed the bell tower in 1812, he designed it that the bells would be able to be heard as far away as the western hills. Those are the hills, confusingly, to the east of the village, because those are to the west of Tynel, which is, of course, Little Tynel being the smaller of the two towns in the Tynel Valley. And the western hills are to the east of Little Tynel, would you believe, which a lot of people do get confused by. Yeah. But
that's great. Well, I was going to say, now that we've sorted out the geography of the town, which is important, and thank you for that, what are the jobs of the bell keeper? Is it a dawn to dusk gig? Do you...
Very much so, Karen, very much so. So my job will usually be to clean the bells. They need to be cleaned once a week, as they're made of brass.
Right.
And so they need to be cleaned. The original bells that once hung here were made of copper, but they were melted down during the First World War to help the troops. And we now have a brass bell, and it has a much more warm sound than the copper bell would. And so I clean that once a week. And then I also have to keep the tower in relatively good order. Mm. And on Sundays, I often come in just to help with the service. There's a mass there at 10 a.m. And you're more than welcome if you ever get over to Little Tynel. not that I imagine you would, but, you know, you are more than welcome. We have a mass at 10, and I'll help with the tea often. The rector will get me in to help.
Are you ringing those bells, Michael?
Never would have. No, I wouldn't ring them. No, Rosie. That's not. And may I say, it's a great pleasure to meet you as well. But no, I've not been a. I'm not a bell ringer, just a keeper. If you find me ringing the bells, then something's gone wrong.
All right. Well, Michael, thank you for being here. But you're not the only member of the Brains Trust. We also have a wine mum with us, which is exciting. A big hello to Jan Barnes.
Nice to see you. Good to be here. Good to be anywhere, if you know what I mean.
Not really. So, what's the job of a wine mum? What makes that different from a regular mum?
Oh, well, I am recently retired, Jan Barnes, 62 years young, and I retired not long ago. I actually sold my business. I was a bit of an entrepreneur. If I'm being honest, and I used to work in kitchen equipment, lease to buy, that was my empire that I really built, actually. And so when I sold that for a modest mozza, I want to be honest with you, obviously, at all times. And so I sold it for a modest mozza. And ever since then, you know, I found myself a bit listless. You know, I've been such a tycoon my whole life. And so I just sort of, I was gathering things to do. And I love a wine. I do. I love a Pinot Noir with a couple of ice blocks in there, out on the back veranda, watch the sunset, listen to the birds, have a chinwag with my girls. But, you know, that can't be all you do, because it's sort of, it becomes a bit of a slippery slope. And I love to take on new challenges, try classes, do a podcast here and there when I can.
Yep.
But yeah, I do a lot of classes.
Oh, great. That's great. So that's a lot there. that's a real ride into the life of Jan. Mm. And do you mind, because you mentioned it a couple of times there, a modest mozza. Mm. You set up, Jan, you're 62 now. You know, you've still got 40 years ahead of you.
Oh, yeah. Do
you mind me asking, what's a mozza?
Well, Kyron, I wouldn't want to divulge that sort of personal information, but I'll tell you this much. I've bought a boat. and it just sleeps Graham, my husband, and I. So it's a single berth boat. Yep. Much like myself, I've just got one daughter, so I'm a single birth woman. And Lizzie, she lives in New York. She works in marketing.
Great. Great. How do you feel, Rose? Is that?
I'm feeling good. I'm a little disconcerted because Jan, you sound a lot like my girlfriend. It's interesting.
That must be disconcerting.
Does she have a nice voice, Rose? Is she in a
She does. Meeting? She's got a very lovely voice.
Oh, that's good. Mm. I look forward to maybe meeting her one day after this. We could go grab a wine.
Oh, that sounds delightful, Jan.
Shall we do a quiz?
I love the quiz.
Question one. In Italian cooking, the flavor base sofrito is made by sautéing onion, carrot, and what other vegetable? Italian cooking, the flavour-based sofrito is made by sautéing onion, carrot, and what other vegetable? Michael, do you get to cooking much in Little Tynel?
I do, but I've nothing so fancy as Italian cooking, no. I'm a pretty ordinary kind of fellow in that kind of respect.
What do you like to make? What's your go-to on a weeknight?
Well, if it's winter time, I'll tell you what I do like to do is I'll go down to Mary Brooks. She lives on the corner from me. She has a market garden. She sells them on Saturdays in Tynel. And I'll go down to her in the wintertime and she'll give me perhaps maybe half a punnet of Brussels sprouts. And I like to cook that up and just I'll eat them just with a bit of butter on it.
Butter.
And maybe
butter,
some salt.
Just sautéed butter and Brussels.
That's my favorite thing to eat in the whole world.
And do you have a name like in your recipe book that you've written out all your own personal recipes? What's at the top of the page there?
I call that buttered sprouts because they're Brussels sprouts. And what I've done is I've put butter on them, Cameron.
And so instead of Brussels, it's butter as well. So it kind of sounds similar.
Mm. It does sound like that. Yeah. It does a buttered sprout. I did think of calling them buttered Brussels, which does sound nice, and it has that, you know, that nice assonance of having all of those vowels together. But I thought that if I wrote that down, and if somebody gets my recipe book after I pass on, then they might look at that and they'd say, "What a Brussels! What the devil are buttered Brussels?" Because they might not know that they're Brussels sprouts.
But buttered sprouts could be so many things, you know. There's more than just Brussels sprouts.
Could have been alfalfa sprouts.
This is true.
Well, I didn't think about that, but we don't have too many alfalfa sprouts here in Tynel Valley, but you do make me wonder.
Jan, did you venture into Italian cooking?
Kyron, you won't believe this, but my husband, Graham, and I, he's my second husband, we married later in life, and we took our honeymoon not that long ago to Positano.
Wow.
On the Amalfi Coast, and it was gorgeous. It was divine, and we had a lovely time, and we did, in fact, do an Italian cooking class.
While you were there?
In Positano, yes. And we made pasta, and we paid over 200 euro for the experience. And I'll tell you what, you needn't bother. It's quite difficult and time-consuming and expensive to do a pasta maker.
I could have given you the recipes for free.
Oh, Michael, if only I knew. No, I wouldn't have been messaging you when I was on my honeymoon. I was loved up to the gills, to be honest. But we did do that cooking class there in Positano. And Rose, if you need a hand, I actually think I've got the answer to this.
What do you think it is? You pour in a few wines into the sauce and whatnot?
That's right. To make a ragu, you
do
start
with... Do you think it's wine?
It's going to impart flavour, but I don't know if that's the third ingredient in the holy trinity of the sofrito. Mm. I don't think that's specifically what they're referring to, but... Rose, you have a go.
What were the first two again?
Carrot and onion.
Carrot and onion. That sounds like that feels like that'd be in your wheelhouse, Michael. Just like a nice carrot and onion soup.
If you do need a hand, I do know the answer to this, but that's neither here nor there.
Why don't we do a cute thing where you both seem to know the answer? So what if I count down to three and then you both say the answer?
If you'd like, but do you not know it now, Rosie?
Look, I'm more of a KFC kind of gal myself. not overly well versed in any kind of cooking, let alone, you know, other cultures.
I love that idea. That sounds like a fun game to me. I'm always up for playing a bit of a game.
All right. Well, let's do that, shall we? All right. Are we ready? 3, 2, 1.
Celery.
Oh,
that was fun to do, Jan.
I knew you had it in you, Michael, as well. Let's lock it in.
Let's do it. I'm going to trust the brain's trust here.
All right. I'll put celery. Question number 2. True or false? Madison Square Garden was named after a United States president. Maybe this is one for you, Jan, because your daughter Lizzie lives in New York, of course.
Yeah.
She does. She lives in New York. She works in marketing. I love going to visit her there. It's so exciting. And she's one of the thousands of Australians stuck overseas at the moment, and I'm absolutely gagging to see her.
Oh. How long's it been now?
Well, I tried to get her back for Christmas on points, but she could only get, they only get 2 weeks off work over there, and she works in marketing in New York. And she would have gone through quarantine, had Christmas night with us, and then had to be back on a bloody plane the next day. So it just didn't seem worth it. So it has been
crazy,
you know, over 18 months since I've seen her.
Have you visited New York before that, before the pandemic?
Yes. Oh, I love it. She lives in this really cool loft apartment. That's what they call them, a loft.
Yep.
It sort of just means it's one big room, which she didn't love having me there in the apartment with her, because sort of it is all on the same, there's no walls, as it were. And yeah, she sort of...
No walls. So the bathroom...
Yes. Well, it is New York, and it's... everything sort of, the toilet
very
is
modern.
Sort of it's like it's sort of like an art installation kind of thing, very Dada,
but very bohemian.
It is, it's so bohemian, industrial chic. I loved it.
Yep, but you do have to shit in front of everyone in the room.
Yes, unfortunately. And it's quite confronting, especially,
but art is confronting, isn't it?
And it just feels like you're living in a movie when you're over there. It was not my favourite kind of movie when, I had to see my daughter changing her tampon, but it was an experience. And that's what I love about going travelling, is getting all new experiences.
Where did you go? What did you see in New York? Did you see the sights, hit all the tourist traps?
Yep, we did. She takes me out to really fun restaurants. She took me to one, a ramen restaurant, which is noodles. And I love that. That was like, it's like noodles. And
it's like noodles in a soup, isn't it? A little bath of noodles.
Yes, exactly. And you slow.
Quite common, actually. Quite common in Melbourne. Popped up everywhere now.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's sort of what I noticed over there. It's like the trend starts there and it gets over here. And I reckon if you go over there and you can do a bit of trend spotting, you could make a modest mozza for yourself, Kyron.
Have you ever travelled, Michael?
I can't actually say that I have travelled all that much. I've not left the United Kingdom. I've never been to Scotland. I did go to Wales once. For a summer holiday in school, and we went across to Bangor for a seaside holiday.
I didn't ask where Tynel is.
Tynel is in, it's in South Yorkshire. It's a small valley. It runs along the Tynel River, which flows eventually into the Tyne. The Tynel, I think, was named by the Danish. It was part of the Danelaw until 1650, I believe. And the Tynel, the little diminutive L there is from, I believe, from Danish, means little. So it's the Little Tyne.
Which is also the name of the town. So it's sort of Little Tyne Little.
It is. Well, no, really exactly. Yes. Little Tyne Little. Yes. Yeah. Little Tyne, we would say.
So you've not been overseas, but have you seen on... Are you into music? Do you see Madison Square Garden crop up in, you know, big concerts?
I have heard the name. Yes, Karen. I have
DVDs.
Oh yes, I have heard the name Madison Square Garden's come up. Yes, but for me, it's always one of those places that I imagine, you know, like the garden, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, or something like that, you know. So I've not been
City
there.
City of Atlantis.
Exactly. Yes. So I've not. I'm not been there myself, but what was the question again, Karen? Because
it was true or false. Madison Square Garden was named after a United States president.
Well, I mean, that could be true, couldn't it?
Yes, or false.
How many US presidents do you think you could name? Because surely Madison would be in there if that's who it's named after. Unless it's like John Garden or something like that.
Well, there hasn't been a female president of the United States yet, has there? Like Madison... That's sort of leading me to believe that that might in fact be a falsehood.
Do you think? Oh, you think it's named after a first name?
Mm. Oh well, I guess that's not really.
Because I think they tend to use the last name. Like
well,
it's not
what about
President
the
Bill.
Yeah. That's Bill Square Garden. And a last name.
Mm.
I mean,
that's true.
I suppose Madison Square was the original square upon which the gardens were built. Mm. And Madison Square, often when you're naming a square, you would name it after someone that could be a president, or in our case, in Little Tynel, the square is named after a former priest.
Oh. What? And Father who?
Badrum. Badrum Square.
Father Badrum.
Mm. Badrum
would you
square.
Say that the goings-on in Little Tynel is a bit like an episode of The Vicar of Dibley?
I do love that show, that program with it's Dawn French, isn't it?
It is.
Yes. Yes, I do like that. Well, look out, you've eaten your tinsel. Sometimes
well,
it
I can
is.
Add...
Sometimes it is, actually. I said the other day, Maggie came into the service on Sunday. We have the service every Sunday at 10 a.m. Maggie, she's one of my neighbors, actually. She lives just down the road. And she came in and she had a whole bag full of eggs. I said, Maggie, what have you got a full bag of eggs for? She said, I'm on my way to market. I said, Maggie, it's Sunday. You're at Mass. It's 10 a.m. And she said, oh, where is my head? And we all laughed. We laughed. So there's lots of stories like that, you know.
Yeah, it's like they've taken your life and put it on the telly.
Sometimes I do think that.
Well, Madison was a president. I can confirm that.
We can confirm
Madison.
That.
Yeah, one of the early ones.
Ooh, how do we feel?
Whether Madison Square Garden is named after that president, I'm not sure.
Or maybe they could be leading us down the garden path, as it were.
Because it's Madison Square Gardens.
Yeah.
50-50, what do you reckon, Rose? What do you want to lock in?
You know what? I'm going to say that they're trying to double bluff it, and I'm going to lock in true.
We'll put true. Question number three. What is the name for a male rabbit? And for a female rabbit?
I imagine there's a few rabbits getting about down there in Little Tynel.
We do have the odd rabbit, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Now, I did...
Is it Peter?
Peter. And what was his? What was the other little one's name? Beatrix Potter's books.
Yeah.
Now, this is something that I do think that I know. And if you give me just a moment...
Well, maybe I'll confer with Jan while you're having a thing.
In the meantime.
I feel like it might be one of those things like they're similar to another animal, like a mare and a stallion or something. Like, are you picking up what I'm putting down?
Yeah.
That's
sort of how you felt on the honeymoon with Graham.
Oh, let me tell you.
A couple of rabbits.
Well, I was going to say.
Well, Graham's a bit of a stallion.
You know what? He's got a bit of go to him still. He's 65 and he's virile. He's more virile than I expected he would be at his age, because he's also got a bit of a paunch. But as I like to say, it's a bit of cushion for the pushin. That's just, sorry, that's a dirty joke. I shouldn't say that. But no, we do have a very tender and a tender love life that is peppered with sort of quite extreme... extreme examples of, I don't want to say anything too out of turn, but we like to keep it spicy.
Okay.
Sorry, I got distracted. Is it a stallion and a mare? That's what I'm saying. A female and male.
Stallion and a mare. Has it come to you?
It's not come back to me at all. That's quite frustrating. You know, when something's right at the tip of your brain, and all I can think about are ducks.
What are you thinking of, the rabbit versus the duck problem?
Oh, they're age old enemies, Rosie. They're at each other's throats. No, I cannot. That's gone, I'm afraid.
Do you think they're named after, like? Do you think we're on the right track, though, that they're named up, that similar to like a bigger animal, you might not expect them to be named
this way? They do have two different names. I mean, the only two things that are coming to me are jackrabbit, which I believe is another kind of rabbit and not the actual male rabbit name.
Yeah, and a hare.
And then coney, which I believe is the children of a rabbit.
Is that not a bunny?
A bunnikin, maybe. or a bunnel, as we call it here. Yeah, I've not got this, it's not coming to me, I'm sorry.
What do you reckon, Rose? Stallion and mare? That's the closest we've got.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up with rabbits, so I feel like maybe I should know this, but I mean, I guess the only answers I could come up would be Misty and Casper, which were the names for the male and female rabbits we had. So
I could put Misty and Casper if you like.
I'm tempted, but I think I might go with Jan on this one. I might go stallion and mare.
Stallion and mare. Question number 4. Which actress links the characters Lisa Fremont, Tracy Lord, and Frances Stevens? Do you have a library in Little Tynel, Michael?
We do have a library. It's a library. Can you imagine this, Karen? On wheels. Every Thursday, the main library in Tyne, They drive a community van down here to Tynel, and we can go. We rent out books, and then when you want to return them, you take them the following Thursday. So I go down, they park just down on Badram Square, and I go and I can get any book I want that they've got in the trolley.
That's great. And you're getting into these. Have you heard of these audio books?
I've never quite got around them, you know, Aaron. I've got a lot on my oral plate with the bells and whatnot.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to be having my big headphones on listening to an audio book and then miss something's gone wrong with the bells.
Yes. So you can hear, because, of course, you don't ring the bells. It's just your job to clean them.
That's right.
So when you're sitting at home and someone else is ringing the bells, can you hear if they're not clean?
Oh, yes. Tiny imperfections will change the tenor, you know, of the bell. So, you know, the note will slightly change. I'll be sitting there one day. I'll tell you this, Karen. It was a Tuesday, I think. And they were ringing the 12 o'clock bells. We ring the bells at 6 a.m., 12 at 6 p.m., except on a Sunday. And then they ring at 10 a.m. to call to mass. And they ring at 11 and then also at 12. And then as well, so there's 5 bells on a Sunday and 3 every other day. And at Christmas, we ring them quite a bit too.
You just go mental at Christmas, do you? Yeah.
Christmas, it's sort of anything goes.
Is that the one day that you might be able to get in there and give it a bit of a ring?
Oh, you wouldn't catch me around the bells ringing them.
It does sound like you once rang them and are now no longer allowed to ring them.
Yeah, I'm getting that vibe.
There's a very strict hierarchy around the bells here in Little Tynel, and I wouldn't want to jump on anybody's toes. And I'd hate for Margaret to be picking up this podcast and hear that old Michael's got desires on ringing her bells. And I, that's not what I want, you know.
Do you ever get the feeling like you want to, though, Michael? Like you're up there, you're cleaning them. Do you ever give them like a little ding, just a ding?
Well, I mean, part of my job is I have to do sound the bell. So I have a little bell hammer. And I'll tap that around, but not. I've looked at the rope.
But that's just for you.
I've looked at the rope certainly, and gosh, you know, there's not a Christmas goes by when I hear those bells just going bedlam that I don't think about pulling that rope myself.
Yeah.
As the keeper of the bells, are you responsible for checking on who is ringing the bells? Like if they're ringing, you got to check that it's not meant to be.
Yes. There are only three keys to the bell tower. There's one that I have. There's one that's kept in the church. And then there's another that's kept by the bell ringer. And so in the case, sometimes you'll hear the bell ringing, and I'll think, well, that's odd, because I know Margaret's on holiday. So you'll go up and you'll check in and you'll say, oh, I see, it was David, who's he's a junior bell ringer, and he'll have been ringing them while she's away. And that sort of thing. You know, at Christmas time, I'm often up there two or three times a day because, you know, people are going mad for the bells. We call them the 12 bells of Christmas sometimes, but there's often more than 12.
Before, when you said, you know, you imagine pulling on that rope and that you sound the bells just with your own little hammer, that sounds very intimate. That sounds like, because the bells are ringing just for you, you know?
That's true, yeah. It is an intimate job, the bell keeper. I think you
just
form...
you and the bells, just you two together.
You do form a sort of relationship with the bells. You become quite close to them. You know, the bell keeper before me, the late Agnes Cortegue, she said to me when she handed over the keys on her last day, she said, if you ever find yourself naming the keys or naming the bells, that's when that's when you've gone too far over the edge. And she, it, you know, you call it, they call it bell madness in the bellkeeper game. Uh-huh. And I've been lucky to avoid it, but you certainly do get the temptation. You know, you're spending as much as, you know, 12 to 13 hours a week with these bells, keeping them clean and tuned.
Rubbing them, dreaming of pulling the rope, tapping them off.
Trying to stop yourself from naming them.
Often you'll breathe on them just to see your own breath. But
have you ever written your name in your breath?
I wouldn't do that, Rosie. No.
No. Have you ever fucked a bell, Michael?
I'd rather not answer that question, Karen.
What do you reckon? What actress links the characters Lisa Fremont, Tracy Lord, and Frances Stevens? Jan, have you ever come across these characters?
You seem like a cultural lady.
I imagine you read on holidays, don't you?
I read a lot. I read Marion Keyes. I've read every single Marion Keyes book there is. And that's just sort of a bit of light reading. I've read Michelle Obama's biography about six times now. which I loved, and but I've never heard of these. Are they characters or are they actors?
Well, it's an actress who links the characters. So I guess there's an actress who has played Lisa Fremont, Tracy Lord, and Frances Stevens. If we don't know any of those characters, we are just basically looking at multiple choice of actresses we know.
So yeah,
I feel like a safe bet is the one, the only hero, personal hero of mine. Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep, of course. Because yeah, you're in love with Meryl Streep.
I love her. And and I'm not saying it's going to happen, but if it does happen that someone wants to make sort of a biopic of my life, Meryl, she's who I want to play me. And not just sort of now, but throughout my life. I would like her to play me, you know, as a younger woman, as a girl. And
because they can do that with CGI these days, can't they?
Oh, well, also, Meryl's just so fantastic. She's got the range, doesn't she?
The range, Rosie. That's what I'm saying.
Meryl. What do you reckon, Rose? Do you want to put Meryl Streep, or do you know any of the characters, Lisa Fremont, Tracy Lord, and Frances Stevens?
I'm going to back Jan in with Meryl, because I couldn't tell you who a single one of those characters are. I'm not very cultured.
Okay, question five.
Just before we move on, Michael. I think that a female rabbit is called a Jenny.
Ooh.
Jenny, you reckon?
Unless that's a donkey.
Question five. In the popular nursery rhyme 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, which finger did the fish bite? Does your cultured experience extend to nursery rhymes, Rosie?
Is that like a new one? I don't
popular it says popular nursery rhyme 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Maybe I'm out of touch.
Makes me a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Do you remember that song? Oh,
yeah,
that's a good one.
Great track, isn't it? Yep.
All right, so I want to lock in Angela.
Did you sing this nursery rhyme to Lizzie, Jan? One, two, three, four, five.
No, we did. Oh, she was absolutely bonkers for Hickory Dickory Dock. But no, this one, this isn't... sorry, Michael, I don't mean to trigger you, but this isn't ringing any bells.
That's very good, that, Dan.
Have you not? Has no one made that joke to you before, Michael?
I can't say that anybody has, actually.
Do you have any kids?
I'm writing that down. I'm gonna use that on Sunday, and it'll absolutely... That will be fun to do. I'll say, oh, it's not ringing any bells. And they'll all look at me and they'll say, Michael, did you know that you work in a bell tower?
It'll bring the church to its knees, but not at the point in church where you're supposed to get on your knees.
Oh, that's also good, Rosie. I'll put that down too. I do like these.
Do you have any kids, Michael?
I don't know. I like to think of the children. The bells are my children.
But you haven't come to name them yet.
No.
You're treading the line, yeah, Michael, yeah. I feel, thinking of them as children.
That's true, actually. She did warn me that might happen.
Although it does sort of raise questions about you not wanting to discuss whether or not you'd fucked one of your children.
Yeah, this is true.
Well, the answer was no to that, but I mean... partly because...
But you said you wouldn't want to go into it.
Well, partly because I think of them as my children, and I didn't want to reveal that to you in that way.
I say, yeah, fair.
But I guess... I've never heard of that rhyme. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah, I feel like it's very rich to call it popular.
I would say the fish, if you're going to eat any of your fingers, it'll be the pinky every time. Mm-hmm. It was a larch, actually, in the Tynel that old Mr. Rumry, he used to drive a lorry. And he used to come out and he'd scare the kids. This is back in the 60s. You won't remember this, but back in the 60s, you'd have these lorry drivers would come around and visit the schools. And he'd come out and he'd go, oh, look at me. I'm a lorry driver. He'd say, oh, no, it's the lorry man. And he had a finger missing and he'd show us that. And a larch took that finger from him when he was a boy swimming in the Tyne. So that was his pinky.
Well, I guess we've got two pinkies, though. You know, we've got a left and a right.
Oh, surely this nursery rhyme can't go into that much specific detail. But
you don't reckon? Okay, you want to just put pinky then?
I feel like specificity is the sort of main purview of nursery rhymes. They deal in fact, you know. You don't go into backstory. You just find out who the, you know,
who ran away with the
spoon.
Mm.
Yeah. They live in the now nursery rhymes, don't they?
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah. What do you reckon then, Rose? Do you want to put...
Do you think you want to agree with Michael Jan and go with Pinky?
I think that's a safe bet.
Yeah, all right, let's lock it in. Little Pinky, it's like a little white bait or something.
All right, we'll put Pinky. Question number 6. In computing, the acronym RAM stands for what access memory? Does the local library have a computer that rolls around town?
We did have a computer, but the priests wouldn't have it.
They thought it was demonry.
Go horribly wrong.
That's right. So we got rid of that computer. People in town do have it. There's a lot of, as I said, there's a new development on one side of town, and a lot of them do have computers. I've not one myself, but I did read a book on computers, and I think that. I do know the.
Did you get it out at the library?
I did at the book. We have one on wheels, would you believe? And they had a book on computers, and I thought, well, this is the next best thing for me to try. So I gave that a read, and it was quite gripping, really.
Are you very techie, Jan?
I imagine you'd have Facebook and Instagram, wouldn't you, Jan?
Yes. Love Facebook and I love Instagram. I've never really got around the Twitter thing or the LinkedIn thing, I love the computer and, you know, I think a lot of women of a certain age are a bit intimidated by the techie stuff, but not me. I really grabbed it by the lapels and shook it into submission because I wasn't going to be left behind. No siree.
I can really see you with an iPad in your hand.
They've got a good camera. And when you sort of, if you take a photo on your iPad, you can really see the image nice and big straight away. So I do like it's a good travel companion.
It's almost life size, isn't it, when you hold it up
exactly.
There in front of you.
Exactly. Something I like to do as well when I go to museums, when I'm traveling, I take photos of all of the sort of plaques that give you the description and the information so I can go back and read it again later.
Sounds as ripping a read as the book on computers.
It's a real whodunit.
It was Bill Gates in the end.
Yeah. The acronym RAM stands for What Access Memory. I think this is actually the same as a Daft Punk record.
Yeah, that's. I was going to go with random.
Yeah, that's. I think we know it's random. I'll put that down. Question number 7: In what year will Halley's Comet again be visible from Earth with the naked eye? No iPad required. A. 2061. B. 2066. Or C. 2071.
Ooh, did either Halley's of you see this go around Comet. The first time?
Oh, gosh, this has got me feeling morbid. I'm now questioning if I'm going to see it. I didn't see it last time. I was, I'd smoked what I thought was going to be a menthol cigarette, but it in fact wasn't. And I'm not proud of it, but I did, I think what they call it, that I greened out.
Oh, yeah. And on the night of Halley's Comet.
Yes.
Comet.
So unfortunately, I missed it. And now sort of confronted by the fact that I might never see it.
That's actually quite a fun coincidence, Jan, because I actually also greened out during the last Halley's Comet. We have a tradition called the Green Man, where someone dresses up totally in green as a guardian of the forest, and they scare children on one of the evenings around town. And sometimes you can get a bit carried away, and that's what happened to me. And I just sort of got lost out in the forest for about 2 days.
So wait, so you were one of the children, or you were the green man?
I was a green man. I was out there carrying on, rubbing mud and such on my face, being a guardian of the forest. It really spoke to me in a way, but. We all have our wild times in our youth, I suppose.
I don't think that's got us any closer to the answer.
No. And they're all very well, hate when they do this as well, because it's 61, 66, or 71. They're all very close. They're sort of expecting you to not be able to guess generally which decade it might be in, but have to actually have the information.
Yeah. Does any like how often does it come around? That's the question. Is it like every 100 years? Is it? You know,
that's a good question.
Biannually.
Well, I think the last time was in the 90s. I want to see. Well, the early 2000s.
I think it might have been earlier than that. I think it might have been earlier than the 90s. I don't think I've been alive during a Halley's Comet.
I remember reading a lot about it in the newspaper, but, you know, but I'm obviously a man of advanced age. So my youth would be. Certainly beyond the 90s.
Guys, I think you should just trust your instincts. Trust your gut.
Trust my gut? I want to go with 66.
66?
Yep,
put let's down do 66. It. Question number 8. The capital city of which of these countries comes last alphabetically? The capital city of which of these countries comes last alphabetically? Croatia, Serbia, or Bosnia and Herzegovina. Herzegovina.
Herzegovina.
Have I pronounced that right, Michael? Herzegovina.
Herzegovina.
I don't know why I turned to you, Michael, to to help me with the pronunciation.
Well, I do like to read the Atlas.
Do you?
I do.
Have you got your own Atlas, or do you hire that out of the...
I do have my own Atlas. I thought that's one of the books that you're going to have for you're going to read that a lot over the course of your life. So that's worth buying. So when I think I was 23, I just had a pay packet come in. I'd been working and I took the train. That back then there was a train that ran from Tyne over to Brunley, and I went to Brunley and I bought myself an atlas. It's outdated now. The Soviet Union isn't what it was. And a lot of these countries that you're talking about were actually part of Yugoslavia.
Yeah.
But they still kept the regional names on there. So
Croatia, Serbia, or Bosnia and Herzegovina?
Well, the capital of Serbia is Belgrade.
So unlikely Belgrade. To be that.
The capital of Croatia is Zagreb.
That's true. I've been to Zagreb after Lizzie finished uni. Her and a few of her friends went on a trip to Europe, and they did sort of a whole Euro trip. They got one of those bus, like a Kentucky tour kind of thing. They did that. And I just sort of drove behind. I just sort of followed along and drove behind. And, like, I wasn't sort of butting in or anything, but I just thought it would be fun. And, so
you want to see that your daughter's safe?
I wanted to see she was safe. And, you know, I thought I've always wanted to go to these parts of Europe, and I'm not going to butt in. I'm not going to make a nuisance of myself, but I'll just, and, you know, I snuck in and paid for a few dinners and, you know, and I sort of checked on some of the boys that she was having kisses with at the nightclubs and just made sure that they were sort of the right sort of guy for her. And turns out they weren't. And,
and what do you do in that situation where you've checked in on some of the boys?
Mm. Oh, well, I'd tell them I'll break their kneecaps if they... you know, a lot of the time, sometimes I'll sort of like physically block them from getting close to her.
Sort of stand in the way.
Kind of Gandalf, you shall not pass kind of.
That's right.
Yeah.
Did you become the eye of anyone's affection yourself while you were there?
Yes. Well, it was, so maybe, you know, it could be argued that one of the reasons that I did follow her was because it was not long after my divorce and I sort of was grasping at emotional straws a little bit. And there was actually a woman that I had a romance with, and I just think it's something nice to have explored in myself. Her name was Maria, and it was in
Zagreb.
In Zagreb, okay. Yeah. And she had a heaving bosom that that I found quite hypnotizing. And you know, I'm glad that that's been part of my journey.
Yeah. Mm. I Me can't too. Remember what the capital of Bosnia-Herzegovina is.
I reckon it's safe to say that we could probably lock in
Zagreb. Although,
so Serbia then. Croatia rather.
Although Bosnia-Herzegovina, something is coming into my mind that there could be something called Sofia that might be spelt with a Z.
That's what I was going to say, that I think it has a lady's name.
Is Sofia not Bulgaria?
I think you're right.
Happy luck in Croatia.
I'm quite happy to, I think. Yep.
All right, we'll put that down. Question 9. Pulmonary relates to which part of the body?
The lungs.
That is correct. That was easy.
Happy to put down lungs. Question 10.
Okay, move on.
Which two Formula One drivers have been on the top of the podium for the first 5 Grand Prix? Grands Prix, rather, of course. The plural is in the first word. 5 Grands Prix of the 2021 season. Do you like your sport, Michael Cowley, when you're waiting to get back to cleaning the bells?
I've never been much of a sportsman. I'm good at sort of some of the standing and throwing games, you know, darts and quoits and pool and such.
But a bit of bocce?
Bocce's a bit rich for my tastes. But this is not one that I know. My sister would know this, hands down. She's a big F1 fan. Me, I'd say the only name that comes to mind would be Daniel Ricciardo.
Ah, good Australian boy.
Is he Australian?
He is. I think he might be a personality.
Well, then I'll be damned.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully not. That wouldn't go down well at the church.
No, well, they would not let me in on a Sunday, that's for sure.
What about you, Jan? Have you got KO?
I don't have KO. I've just
Graham doesn't have KO?
Oh, I don't keep tabs on what he's watching. He loves he sort of goes into, he's got a bit of a man cave that he's sort of set up above the garage, and I just sort of leave him to it. I think it's important for us to have our own rich inner lives. But I don't really know much about the F1. I think I loved that Schumacher. He was a bit of a hunk, but I don't think he's sort of driving anymore. I don't really get it. I just think it's sort of, they're just going in circles, aren't they? But if they're hunky, I'll watch.
Well, you might want to have a bit of a watch for Daniel Ricciardo then. Very, very handsome, young, strapping young lad.
And I think they're all quite fit, aren't they?
Yeah.
Because you think, oh, they're just driving cars, but they actually keep themselves in tip-top shape.
You're getting paid $1 million a minute to race a car. You've got a lot of time on your hands.
Yeah.
May as well get shredded.
Is that similar to the rates you get for your bell
plane? Not far off it, I'd like to see.
are you in pretty good nick, Michael?
Well, the church do pay me a small salary, which is enough to keep the leaks out of the roof.
Is it very physical work, bell keeping?
It does keep one in good shape. I mean, there's 119 stairs from top to bottom. I would. If the architect
was
still alive.
You must have dynamite calf muscles.
Oh, my legs, they're pumping. They are pumping, they are. If I could have a word to the architect and design the church, I would have said, make it 120 steps, would you? But it is nice because...
Or put a lift in.
Yes, that would be nice, actually. But it is.
So the best we've got at the moment is Ricciardo and Schumacher, or do you want to go your own way, Rosie?
I have a vague passing knowledge, which I didn't have because I really don't enjoy Formula One racing at all. But Lewis Hamilton has been the kind of big guy of the last several years, and I think Nico Rosberg as well. But I feel like I've heard people mention Daniel Ricciardo lately, so maybe Lewis Hamilton and Daniel Ricciardo.
I think okay, back yourself on that, Rosie, because I've just taken a name I've seen in the newspaper or that my sister's mentioned to me on the telephone.
Hey, so, but why would you be in the news if you weren't winning F1, you know?
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah. What do you reckon? I'll give you half a point if you get half of that right. How do you feel with your 10 questions? You feeling all right?
I think we've done quite well. I feel like these are two very learned people. Jan, very worldly. Mm.
Oh,
Michael done
me.
Some reading in the mobile library.
If you can get along to a library in your, at least once in your week, it really does brighten the whole week up.
All right, let's see how you did. Question number one was, in Italian cooking, the flavor-based sofrito is made by sautéing onion, carrot, and what? You said celery, and it's celery.
Yay.
Woohoo.
I've got to thank Question the Brains number. Trust on that one. I had no idea.
Question number two was, true or false, Madison Square Garden was named after United States president? You said true, and it was named after James Madison, the fourth president of the United States.
You were right. It was an early one.
Question three, what is the name for a male rabbit and for a female rabbit? You said stallion and mare, but it's buck and doe.
Buck and doe. Oh. So it was like a kind of equine.
I'm kicking myself, Rose. I'm really sorry.
That's where that term jumbuck comes from.
There you go.
Jump back in his swag.
I think
there.
That refers to number four. That refers to a lamb, though. I don't know.
Oh, it's confusing. Which actress links the characters Lisa Fremont, Tracy Lord, and Frances Stevens? You said the one and only Meryl Streep, and it's Grace Kelly.
Grace Kelly. That makes sense.
Question five in the popular nursery
because
rhyme.
She's an actress.
She's an actress, yeah.
Two, three, four, five. Which finger did the fish bite? You said pinky, and it's the little finger on the right hand. Oh. It was more specific.
Do we get half a point for that?
I'd say that should be half a point. I mean, it's not a... I've never heard that nursery rhyme in my life.
Not usually this generous, but I'll give you half a point there. Question number six. In computing, the acronym RAM stands for what access memory? You said random, and it's random.
We're not doing too bad, guys.
I know. Especially with these half points. Question number seven, in what year will Halley's Comet again be visible from Earth with the naked eye? You said 66, but it is 61.
That's how they get you.
It was,
was
last seen in 1986. Question eight, the capital city of which of these countries comes last alphabetically? Was it Croatia, Serbia, or Bosnia and Herzegovina? I can't say that. I'm never going to get that. The answer was Croatia.
Think of saying it in Michael's accent and say it, Herzegovina.
Herzegovina.
Yeah. It was
a governor. Yeah.
You said Croatia, and it is Croatia. That's four so far. Question number nine. Pulmonary relates to which body part? You confidently said lungs, and it's lungs. And question number 10. Which two Formula One drivers have been on the top of the podium for the first five Grand Prix of the 2021 season? You said Lewis Hamilton and Daniel Ricciardo, and it's Max Verstappen and Lewis Hamilton. So 0.5 there as well, yeah. Giving you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 out of 10. Not bad at all.
Yeah, I'm happy with that. Anything over 50% is a pass. So.
Correct. And you're one over, C plus.
How about that?
Congratulations. Thank you, Michael Cowley, for bringing your worldly knowledge, not just of bells, but also things you've picked up in the moving library.
It's you know, it doesn't just move its wheels. It also moves the brain.
Yeah. Gets the wheels going up there.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. I mean, it's such an exciting job to have to be the keeper of the bells.
I certainly wouldn't trade it for anything in the world, except perhaps a bigger bell.
You've had Agnes Cardigan before you, but I mean, in your elderly years, it must be almost time to hand the baton over. Is there anyone in line for the job?
There's a young fellow from Australia that I think would be quite good at this.
Why do you think he'd be quite good? What's the skills that he has?
He likes to sit and read and just, you know, absorb facts that would otherwise be useless. And quite a good community figure, I suppose. Likes learning people's names and buying their vegetables.
Does he have a name?
No.
Well, you'll just have to check the copy of the podcast, I guess. Jan Barnes as well, thank you so much for taking time out of your leisurely lifestyle, you know, just stopping off from the boat.
Okay, that's all right. It's nice to just do something different, you know. And Graham loves it when I sort of get out of his hair for a bit. So it's been an absolute pleasure. And I feel like I've learned a lot.
Yeah.
And every day is a school day.
In life, isn't it? Did you take? I mean, you took classes in Italian cooking, of course. Do you have any other hobbies? Do you get out? Do you do anything like in that spirit of every day being a school day?
Yeah, well, no, I've done a lot of classes. I did graffiti for beginners. That was really good. We sort of started with tagging, moved into stenciling, and then it was, you know, there was the extension where we sort of learnt about sort of stealth and escaping from the pigs. So that was really good.
Have you tried improv, Jan? There's a bunch of great people in Sydney who do these improv classes. And have you thought about doing that before?
Oh yes, I love improv. I've done improv. I've gone down to It's Theatre Sydney. That's where I've done my improv classes. And they've asked me not to come back. And I assume it's because I'm too talented at it.
Yeah.
Well, you've passed.
Yes. I surpassed sort of what they were able to teach, and I did start to try and...
Name and shame. Who was it that told you not to come back to improv?
It was Steen Raskopoulos, actually. Oh. He sort of put the kibosh on me.
Thought it might have been Jen Mackey.
Oh, Jen Mackey. No, she did take some of my classes. She was a fascinating teacher. Gorgeous girl, isn't she?
I didn't know. Jen's actually my girlfriend. I didn't know that you've had run-ins with her.
Oh, no, she was good. She asked me to stop getting in contact with her outside of class hours. She sort of said, "You're getting into my head. You're taking over my thoughts. Please give me a break."
Well, thank you, Jan, for being here, and I hope you get to see Lizzie soon.
Oh, me too. I'm going to FaceTime with her after this. So, well, not FaceTime because it's a Samsung, but it's the same thing, but for Samsung.
Well, thank you for being here, Jan. And Rose Piper, congratulations, 6 out of 10. Not too bad
happy with
at
that.
All.
Thank you for having me on.
Lodge that. An absolute pleasure. People will be able to catch you on You Can't Ask That on the ABC. And if not, are you round as well? I mean, there's gigs still going on in Sydney.
There are gigs here and there. I think I've got a couple of gigs coming up at the Stonewall Hotel, one on the 5th and one on, I believe, 19th of June. I'll be at Yeah, the Girls at the Chippo on June 6th. You can catch me American Psycho the Musical on the 3rd, just in the crowd watching. but I'll be having a great time. But I post gigs and stuff on my social, so it's just at Rose Alice Piper on Instagram and Twitter. Right. Come along, say hello.
Well, thank you for being here. Congratulations on 6 out of 10. That's it for Wax Quizzical. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.